Okay, today's shiur is Bechoros, daf Nun Beis, the last daf in the eighth parak of Maseches Bechoros. This is a siyum of sorts in that it's the last daf related to Bechor in the Masechta. All different types of Bechor, as we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, starts discussions of Maaser Behema, which, as I just said, the shiur will be tonight instead of tomorrow morning. Bezrat Hashem, after the fast, later tonight, a quarter to nine. Okay, Nun Aleph Amud Beis, we are up to the Mishnah. HaBechor Notel Pi Shnayim Menechsi Ha'av. So, we spoke all about Safik Bechors, and who's a Bechor, and how much you have to give. But now we're talking about some halachas that apply to a Bechor. A Bechor takes a double portion, as we know, the Pasuk says in Pashas Kiseitze, Benechsei Ha'av, he takes a double portion in the father's possessions when the father dies, Ve'ino Notel Pishnayim Benechsei Ha'im. But he does not take Pishnayim in the mother's possessions. What does mother's possessions here mean? So there is a Rashi that the Achronim wonder why he says what he says. Rashi says, Benechsei Ha'im, Nechsei Melug. Rashi says two words. The Nechsei Melug. We know there are two types of Nechasim that the woman brings into the marriage. The Nechsei Tzon Barzel, which the husband has rights to, and he can even use the principal, but he just has to give back the value of the principal when he takes a chrayis for it. It's like Tzon Barzel, it's like Barzel. And then he has to pay back that amount that was written in the Ksuba. Nechsei Melug is where the woman owns the guf, and the husband just has the Kinyan Peris. That's why it's called Melug. Meliga means to pluck. To pluck out feathers. So he plucks off the hana'a from her property. But the question is, why does Rashi say here that it's limited to her nechse malug? What's the case? If we're talking about the possibility of the son yarshining the mother, it must be that the father's dead. Because we're going to see later on, Baal Yorish is Ishto. So it must be the father died earlier, and now the mother died, so then there's no difference between nechse malug and nechse son barzal. Because it all belongs to the mother right now. So what should be the difference? The Rishash just asked that question, and he leads up at Tzarachin. To that answer, he says, you know, you have to just do the math. The husband must have died. Akasha al karchach ayri ba'almana o grusha demlokein habal yorish zakol v'yemkein may haydenokat nafgemina halo ata gamaksuba tachas yada. Right, everything is tachas yada. So, little tzarach Ian, why Rashi says that the only havamina is nechse malug. You only have a mina that you're yarshin, but the nifsei tzon barzel for sure not. So little tzarach Ian, I don't really have I see anyone answer that question of the rishash. So once we're talking about double portion, just to mention, this is quoted in various svarim. I give it to you from the Yagdol Torah in Dvarim, b'shem the Arizal. The Arizal says that the concept of double portion is alluded to in the word itself of Bechor. Bechor, Beis Chaf Resh. If you look in the Torah, yes, a Bechor, but it's no Yakir, losses lo Pishnayim, so Bechor is spelled without a Vav. It's just Beis Chaf Resh. Those are the only three letters in the Aleph Beis, I think, that each letter is double the previous letter. Right? Two is double, Beis is double Aleph, and Chaf is double Yud. Right, try the other one. Lamed is not double Chaf, right? 30 to 20, but 20 to 10, right? Chaf. And then Resh, it's all right. It's all 220, 200. So it's easy because it's all multiples of two. But anyway, that's all part of it. That the symbol of the double portion. Calls it nirmas b'kasuv ki osios beis chaf resh kol echa kfula me haos shalafaneha v'lachid chasre vav ya'an os zu ena kfula al os shalafaneha ka'amur. Right. So even the word bechor is about the double portion. The remez. If the wife dies first, the husband gets all of his wife's property.
Including the
Nechsei Melug. He gets everything. Okay, so the Bechor has Pishtai B'Nechsei Av and not B'Nechsei Ha'im. Ve'eino notel b'shevach. And it's not notel b'shevach. What does shevach mean? Right? Notel Pishnayim, the Bach adds in, b'shevach. That means if there is property that before the brother split up the property appreciates in value, he does not get a double portion of that appreciation. He only gets a double portion of what the property was worth at the moment of the Misa, but not at the moment of the Chalukah. V'lover barahoi kivamuchsak. And he does not take a double portion in Ra'ui as he takes in Muchsak. What is Ra'ui? So roi means something that he does not have at the moment, but something that's magia lo in the future. It is ra'ui. For example, Rashi says, "Benachasim shlohay avin muchsach b'shas misaso." That maybe it means milveh; he's going to get it paid. Maybe it means somebody owes him something on credit. But ra'ui means that it's not muchsach; it's not in his hands when at the shas misa, and he does not get a double portion in that. As we'll see, all these are based on psukim. Next, v'loha isha b'ksubasa, and a woman does not take from ra'ui or from shevach for her ksuba. Rashi says, lo b'shevach sheshbichu. What case? Let's say a woman is collecting her ksuba, but the husband died, and there's not enough in the properties that the husband left. But in the interim, it appreciated. So could she take some of the difference, some of the lack from the property that appreciated? Mishnah says, no. She can't take shevach. She can't take shevach even if she's owed it, Rashi says. V'lo ha'isha b'ksubasa. V'lo ha'bana.
Instead, the...
So the Yarshim have to... see if there's any other. Well, do the next line for a second. Tosfos says that this line. I just actually misspoke. It only applies to the shevach. It doesn't apply to the ra'ui. If you look in Tosfos, Tosfos said at the beginning of Tosfos v'lo bara'ui. Tosfos quotes from Maseches Bava Basra and the big Tosfos on the Amud Beis. Peregish nochlin paskin and hilchasa ein abachar noto bishtayim b'milve. A bachar does not take bishtayim in milve. Bein shegavu mos bein shelo gavu mos. The emphasis is bechor mitokach nira deina govek suba b'milve k'detan hacha aval ret aval shampi rashnu the aval bishahor rakoach abal bechor linian milve the chashvina lele gabayo k'ra'ui l'gabek subas isha miachashiva muchzekes the isha govek subasami milve. A woman is allowed to collect her ksuba from a milva, meaning if the husband is owed money or owed anything, property, and then he dies, the woman can collect from that, from a milva. So there's different definitions of ra'ui when it comes to a woman. A woman has more flexible, more kula when it comes to collecting a ksuba than bichor and the others. That's what the one halacha. This could be based on the fact that a ksuba is a different type of obligation than others. Usually, if somebody owes me, when does the chiyuv kick in or the zchus kick in for a bechor to get pishnayim? Does he have a right when he's born? Then there's already a zchus of a double portion. L'chor or not? L'chor, there's no such thing as the meaning conceptually. When does the double portion zchus kick in? When the father dies. There is nothing before that. It's not that he's a bechor and therefore theoretically there's something there. No, because it could be that the wife is going to. It's not going to work out that he's going to get a double portion. Maybe the son's going to die before the father. Maybe there are other cases. There's really no chiyuv conceptually until the father dies. So at that moment, that's when things are determined. But a ksuba is a little different. As Reb Chaim says in the Grach HaLashatz, a ksuba really has two stages. A ksuba, right at the moment of the marriage, the husband commits himself to something. And then later on, upon death or divorce, the chiyuv continues. But the way the Reb Chaim says it is that it is a chov lachuv. It is an obligation to obligate in the future. So that's a unique type of chov. This is in the Grach HaLashah Simen Kuf Chavav in mind. Ha'achronim makshim, the ishtiris b'chiv ksuba. Rather, ishtiris, the bekama duchti muchach delo nitna ksuba ligvos mechayim, hainu rak delo nitna ligvos. So some sources say that ksuva is not nitan ligvos mechayim. The chiyuv to collect is not b'chayim, but says Reb Chaim that the chiyuv is chal right away at the time of the marriage. What is the husband obligating himself with that kinyan? With the kinyan at the chasen stish, what is he doing? He's obligating himself in the obligations of the ksuba. So some of those obligations might be during marriage, but some of those are after marriage. So he's obligates right away. So which is it? Some sources say it's a chiyuv michayim. Some sources say it's a chiyuv lachar misa. V'yamar agrach zatzal, the chiyuv ksuba hu begeder chov shel chov. That's his lashon. The be'emes nischayiv miyad imani suin. Right away, a husband is obligated to do what? To obligate himself if it comes up in the future. Aval eino chiyuv mamon, el chiyuv shel chov, v'chiyuv mamon mamish eino michayim. It's the beautiful trying to have the middle approach of a ksuba. The chiyuv is not one or the other. It is two stages. It's two stages of a chiyuv starting at the marriage and continuing later on, it's a chiyuv to obligate oneself in the future. Okay, so that's why maybe ksuba is different. Maybe that's a svara behind Tosfos, why a woman might have more rights in ra'oi, and it's not even called ra'oi, by a milva, because she already had her chiyuv that started earlier. Possibly. Continuing, v'lo habanos b'mizonos sehen, and also daughters, there is a takanas ksuba, it's a tnai ksuba, that a man who marries a woman, and the woman has daughters from a previous marriage, he takes upon himself to support them for a couple of years, even after he dies. So again, how much, where do the daughters, where are they able to collect from? So again, the Mishnah says, not from ra'u or shevach, not from these. V'lo Hayavam. What does this mean? The Yavam does not collect Ra'ui or Shevach. What is that referring to? Rashi. V'lo Hayavam. She notel pishnayim chelko v'chelek hames she yibeim ez ishto. We know that a Yavam steps into the shoes of his dead brother and he takes the chelek of his dead brother. Eino notel b'chelek achiv lo b'shevach lo b'ra'ui. He doesn't take a double portion in the Shevach, just like the Bechor doesn't take a double portion in the Shevach and the Roy. So too, this brother, who basically is taking the double portion, because he's taking his portion and the dead brother's portion, he also does not take a double portion. There is a discussion in the Rishonim in Yevamos, not here, Yevamos Chavavim Abeis, what exactly is the case? When did the father die? Did he do Yibam already? Did the brother die, and then the father died, and then he's doing Yibam? So it's not so clear exactly when the Yibam took place and when the father's death took place. The Ritva, there in Yevamos, the Rashba. The Rashba in Yevamos. I said the same thing, I just brought the Rashba. The Rashba quotes Rashi there in Chavdal Mabez. Pirish Rashi Zal, Ma Bechor, Eina Notol, Baraui, Li Yaakov Aviv, Yerushas Yitzchak. El Minichse Yaakov Avad. He only gets what his father had, not what his father was right to get, let's say, from his grandfather, if the father predeceased the grandfather. Also a Yavam, Hanotel Pishnayim, Benichse Yaviv, Chelko, Vechelik Echav, Hameis, Enonotel Barakim Amuchsak. Nirish Hu Sover, says the Rashba based on Rashi, the Yavam Notel Benichse Aviv, Chelko, Vechelik Achiv Hameis. Rashi seems to say that not only does the Yavam take his brother's portion, his brother's nechasim, but he also take his brother's portion in the father's portion. That's what it sounds like Rashi's talking about. That's how we just said here, right? Chelak inonoto shenota pishnayim chalko v'chelak amishi even mitzisha inonoto v'chelak achiv. What? Oh, so here is not so clear in our Mishnah, but in Yevamos is pretty clear that what we're talking about here by v'lo yavam is a double portion in the two brothers' fathers' nechasim. That's what it sounds like from Rashi there. Even if the father died after the brother died, he's still going to take a double portion. You might have said, no, he steps into the shoes of his brother to take his brother's possessions. And maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. He takes a double portion of his brother's possessions, but if his brother has ra'ui or shevach at that time, he doesn't take a double portion of that. Let's say there's ra'ui before he does yibum, so then there's something that's owed to his brother. Yeah?
Who else is going to garish the brother?
Who, maybe the other brothers, right? Or the father.
Or the
well, that's the question. Does he get everything? He gets his brother's possessions, but in Yerusha, it could be that Roy might go to the father, right? Av Yorishas Haben. So it could be, either way, so the Rashba quotes other Rishonim, look here in the Rashba, exactly. Again, the confusion is, when did the father die and when did Yibam take place? But the Rashba says, if you look in the Bahag explains, Baro'i la'ak hameis v'muchsak lo. We're not talking about, but what's Roy and Muchsak to the father, but Roy and Muchsak to the brother himself. And he figures out exactly when Yibam and when Misa takes place. That's this Rashba here, Yivamos Chavdalet Amid Beis. Okay, let's continue. The Kulan, and all of them may not live a Shevach, Lubarakim, and Mufsak. All of them don't take Shevach or Roy. What is that last line adding? It's just saying the same thing, so the Gemara will talk about it. Fine. My Taima, what's the reason that we say that the Bechor only takes Pishnayim in the Nechasim of the father, and not Nechasim of the mother? So if you look in Baba Basra, there are a couple of suggestions. Our Gemara only quotes one. My Taima, Amar Kra, Velo Mishpata Bechora. And to him is the Mishpat HaBechora, a masculine Lashon. And we start in Mishpat HaBechora, even though Lo is referring to the Bechor, the son, but we use it in a little more expanded way. Mishpat abachar leish v'mishpat abachar leisha is a mishpat abachar, a double portion from the father, and not a double portion from the mother. Good. If you look in the Hagdama of the Ramban al HaTorah, Ramban has a 6-page Hagdama where he talks about what his purpose is, and he gets into Kabbalah, and that's where he says that all of the Torah Shmos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He talks about Rashi, and he says, even though I'm going to argue a lot on Rashi, Lo Mishpat HaBechorah. He uses that lashon about Rashi. He's the Bechor. Rashi is the Bechor. Lo Mishpat HaBechorah. That's his lashon about Rashi in Hagdama. That's where he says about the Ibn Ezra. He says, Tochacha Megula V'Ahava Misuteret. You know, I'm going to scream at him most of the time, but you should know I love him inside. Tochachas Megula V'Ahava Misuteret. The Ramban has a line for every one of the Rishonim that he's going to discuss. If you look at the Me'iri in Bava Basra, the Me'iri has interesting case. Right, we're talking here about Yarshining the father. The Bukhar only has no portion in Yarshining the father and Yarshining the mother. The Me'iri in Bava Basra, Kuf Yud Alpha Beis, quotes the Chachmei Narvona. B'Bukhar U'Pashut. Right, there are brothers, a Bechor and a Pashut. Shemesa imam achar shenis almana. What happens? A father dies. And then a mother dies. Velo tava ksubasa. And she was not toveh her ksuba yet before she died. So, whose nechasim are the ksubas? Is the ksuba. The father died, so the father and his children have to pay the ksuba to the mother. But then the mother died before she got to collect her ksuba. So now, the Pashut is saying, the non-Bukhar brother is saying, well, hey, the mother was owed the ksuba, it's the mother's property, and therefore you don't get a double portion in the ksuba money. And the Bukhar is saying, no, well, mommy never got the ksuba yet, so it still belongs to dad, and therefore I get a double portion. Because it's Nichsei Ha'av, it's not Nichsei Ha'im. So, this is what they're fighting about after they lost both their parents. Rachmana Litzlan. Veratzah, maybe they just want to know, maybe they weren't fighting, they just went to Bezim, we just want to know what the halach is. Say it that way. V'ratza apashut laf kia b'choraso miksubas ha'im v'heshivo. And the Chachmei Narvona said, it depends. She'im minag ha'makom lahagvos ksuba below shvua. If the minag of the place is to allow the woman to collect her ksuba even without a shvua, so then we could say, it's ki'ilu gavui. Then we could say, it's as if she collected it already, it's already considered hers, and the b'char is not notop ishnayim. V'hu adinim kasav la p'tur shvua. Even if she... Or this same thing applies if the husband wrote her, like, you're going to be able to collect the ksuba without a shvua. That all works. Oem yichilo karka, oem via metalsli, v'isknu beinayu. Any way that there's already a designation that she can collect, it can work. Avalam einkam achas me'elu. If there's none of these, meaning she would have to take a shvua, and she never got to take a shvua stands between her and the collection, then you cannot look at it as if it's hers already. Avalam ein kan achas me'elu, ho'avalo nishpa'a v'mesa, harei haksuba v'cheskas yarshe ha'bal, v'notel ba'pishnayim, that's considered nechsei ha'bal still, and even though he was chayef to pay, but then she died, it's still nechsei ha'bal. She'ein halacha kibei shamai. She'amr shtar ha'omi ligvas kagavi dami. Afa pisha lo nishba'a. We don't pass it like bei shamai. Elahova lo nishba'a. Ein ademor shvu labanav hari v'cheskas yarshi ha'bal. Fine. V'ilapak peik v'lomar. But then maybe you want to say, if it's shtar ha'omi ligvas, and lav kagavi dami, even if she took a shvu already, even if she's not going to have to take a shvua, maybe we should still say, it is b'cheskas yarshi ha'bal. Because we don't paskin like Beishamai. So he says, no, you don't go that far. Shekol she'in tzricha shvua, afal pi she'eno kegavui, hoel ubiyada ligvos, ve'in davar ma'akev machmata, yecholo lahorish zchus she'esh la labaneha, vahirusha mikocha hi ba'a, ve'ed b'charnoto pishnayim. Fascinating Me'iri. He's got a middle area. We don't paskin like Beishamai, shtar ha'omid ligvos kegavui dami. But if you're going to be able to collect it without a shvua, is not totally not kagavli. Right? It's already considered hers, and she can yarshin it to her children. Maybe it's not kagavli for other halachas, but that's the Me'iri coming up with a middle area, a limbo between kagavli and not kagavli. And that is the Me'iri in a case where there's an overlap between nechse ha'av and nechse ha'im. Okay, we continue. So that was the first source. The first source said, Lo mishpata b'chora, only the nechasim of the father he gets a double portion in, and not the nechasim of the mother. The eino nota b'shevach, and also he doesn't get take a double portion in the shevach. Tichsiv b'chola sheyimatzei lo, everything that was found to him when the death took place. V'lo baray kibemochzak, tichsiv, same thing, b'chola sheyimatzei lo. Roi and shevach are both, how can you learn the same thing from two different things from the same pasuk? It's the same idea. It's not mochzak. V'lo aisha b'ksubasa, and a woman does not take ra'uy and shevach in her ksuba, except for milveh, as Tosfos said. Eini, is this really true? V'yamar Shmuel b'chov goveth ha-shevach. Did we learn that b'chov can be goveth shevach? That, what was the case? Where Reuven sells something to someone else, and then the b'chov of Reuven comes along and goes and is tori from l'kuchos, takes it from the buyers. He could even take from the shevach that it appreciated while it was by the buyers. So you see, the Balchov could be Konis. So why is a woman worse? Am Rabbi Yava, Miksule Ksuba Shanukan. A woman now allowed to collect Shevach. So it's ironic that, you know, sometimes she could collect, take more, sometimes she could take less. But maybe that's this idea of Ksuba is a unique type of Chov. It's a Chov Lachuv, which sometimes gives her more strength because it started earlier, but it's also less strength. Why? Because she didn't lend the Baal any money. It's not like there's a regular balchov that, oh, I have money from you, so now I have to. There's shibud created. It's a different type of shibud. So that's why ksuba could be stronger, and it could be weaker. I think we mentioned in the past the thought from Rav Rosenzweig. He wrote about this, if you want to look in the Beis Yitzchak, in Beis Yitzchak Chavav, where he points out, based on many, many rayas, that even though Rishonim, the Rambam, foremost amongst them, Paskins, ksuba derabanan, it's machlokas tanoim in ksubas davyud, machlokas tanoim, amoroim, Ksuba d'araisa, ksuba d'rabanan. Even though the Rama paskins ksuba d'rabanan, there are many hints to the fact that there is some type of message of ksuba d'araisa. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam quotes that if a man marries a woman, Hamari says Isha, this is in Isha's Perek Yudalacha Yud Aleph, Hamari says Isha, v'lo kasav l'ksuba. If he marries a woman and writes her a ksuba, adayin arusa hi v'ena nesua. Even if he writes her a ksuba, it's still only Erison. Why? She'ein haksuba ose nisuin. The language of the Rambam. What's the Havamina? If ksuba is the Rabbanan, what's the Rambam talking about? That don't think that writing a ksuba, even though you didn't have to, b'shas Erison, don't think that creates any suin. Okay, wonderful. Why would we think that? The Rambam in his Koteret Hilchos, what's the mitzvah of marriage? Which the Rambam holds like it's a mitzvah, not like the Rush. Lisa isha b'ksuba v'kidushin. To marry a woman with ksuba Ksuba is the Rabbanon. What's the Rambam throwing it into the Koteret? Lisa Isha b'ksuba v'kidushin. Or the Isser, Shelo Tiboel Isha b'lo ksuba v'kidushin. Why is that? Why did that play a role? Or the Rambam also discusses, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago in the Daf Be'in Shir, Pilegesh. The differences between Pilegesh and a regular Isha might have to do with ksuba. Again, it sounds like it's a daraisa difference. That's just a drabbanan difference. So Rav Rosenzweig proves for many this and others that it could be that the concept of ksuba is daraisa, according to everyone. The details might be drabbanan. What type of money, the hulu, certain details are drabbanan, but the concept of ksuba and the commitment that it's supposed to create between the man and the woman is daraisa. When the Gemara says that we Rabbanan were misakin ksuba shalote kala be'ein of lahotzia, so it's not easy for her to divorce. Does that just mean lamaisa? And when he decides at the end, maybe I shouldn't divorce her because you know I'm gonna have to pay. Or maybe shema him nisu lahashpia al kol ramata yachasim bein abal leishto. No, maybe he's trying to affect the chazal, or trying to affect the entire relationship. The relationship, if there is this seriousness that is put in by Chazal. So that's what makes Suba unique. The Raisa, the Rabbanan, stronger or weaker. We continue. V'lo habanos b'mezono sehen. And the daughters from the previous marriage don't take from mezonos by taima. T'nai ksuba k'ksuba dami. This is a t'nai ksuba, so it has the same level as a ksuba. Just like a ksuba does not take from roi or shevach, so too t'nai ksuba. V'lo hayava my taima b'chor kar yirachmana. The Torah, ha-b'chor asher teled yokim al shem achiv ameis. The Torah calls him a b'chor, so he has the same halachas. Amar abaya. This only applies to the shevach that occurs before he does yibum. Aval debein yibum lachaluka shakil. Once he does yibum, let's say that this is part of that question. Let's say he does yibum and then the father dies. So once he does yibum, he is his brother. So everything his brother would take, so he takes. So that's why there wouldn't be a difference. My taima yakim al shem achiv ames amar rachmana varikam. If he already was come, so then once he gets married, then he'll take a double. Once he marries the Yavama, he's going to take everything that his dead brother was supposed to take. Rava Amar, no. I feel to be even machaluka nami lo shakil. Even he doesn't take a double portion, even the shevach from after the Yibum. So again, it's not clear when did the father die. Because if he stepped into the shoes of his brother, maybe he should take a double portion. So maybe it means that the father died after the brother died, but before he did Yibum. Anyway, this is the discussion over there in Yavamas. My time, kibachar, ma bachar, ein lo kodem chaluka, af yavam nami, ein lo kodem chaluka. Just like a yavam has no rights before chaluka, if shevach before chaluka, so too the yavam. Okay, fine. V'kula meinot lim b'shevach, the last line of the Mishnah said, none of them take from shevach. We know that already. La suye, shivcha d'memela. To include shevach d'memela. Meaning, you might have thought that they don't take a double portion in Shevach that they worked in and they were mashkia in. But what if Shevach to Memela, that the brothers weren't Toreach in? For example, Chafu Kagon, Chafura Vahabu Shubli, there were little shoots that developed into real growths. Shalfufe Vahavi Tamri, little blossoms that developed into dates. So you might have said that you would take a double portion, because that's just naturally from the Nechasim. Kamashman, you don't take a double portion in those either. Veloba roi kiba mochzak, la asuya nichse da avi abba. And you don't take roi, what is that repeating? Even the grandfathers. You might have thought that the grandfathers is really earmarked to go to the father. And that's less roi, let's say. That's more, you could really foresee that coming. Because it's not like a balchov that's going to pay something back that you might not get it. A person's going to die. So the grandfather's going to die eventually, so maybe you could already say that the grandson is going to get a double portion in that. You might say that's the language of that we have in Maseches Kedushin, kum tachas aviv, that he's really a stand-in for his father. So therefore, we say, no, kamash malan not. By the way, many Rishonim say, why does the Bechor get a double portion? Because he's the one that made the father a father. That's why also he's right. Some say al derech melitza that all the mistakes were on the bechor, so he gets a portion, and the parents got a little more experience. But they say that he made the father a father, and therefore he gets that's why he's zocha. Okay, last mishnah masnisan the elush ein chozrim biyovel. We know by yovel one of the halachas that occurs is that all property goes back to the original owners. So what's included in that halacha that all sados go back? So that's why this is in this parak, the first one on the list. Ha bechora. Bechora, the double portion does not go back in Yovel. Doesn't go back in Yovel. What does that mean, doesn't go back in Yovel? We'll see. What are the possibilities? The Gemara will talk about it. That what, you're going to do a new chalukah? You're going to split up? So bechora does not go back. V'hayorish is ishto. Somebody yarshins his wife, then that Yerusha does not go back. We'll talk about Yerusha Sabal. V'hamiyabim is eshes achiv. Somebody does yibum. These are permanent relationships, and the nechasim don't go back. V'hamatana, div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if you give a gift, that overrides Chazara B'Shas Yovel. That's Rabbi Meir's Shita. The Chachamim Omrim, no, HaMatana Kemecher. Matana is like a sale, and therefore it goes back. It goes back. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kulam Chosrin B'Yovel. Wow. Rabbi Elazar says, all of these in the Mishnah, they do go back. Yibum and Bechor. Well, we have no concept of this because, you know, we don't have Yovel. But think about it. Imagine in Yovel, like all property switching hands. You ever bought something over the past 50 years? You got to give it back to the people. And we're going to get all families back onto their estates that go back to the Chalukas HaShvatim. Right? Yovel, everything goes back. Avadim go free. It's unbelievable. You can't fathom it. You think about it. All lands go back. So Belazar even goes further. It's even more things going back. Unbelievable. Rabbi Elazar Omer Kulam Chozim B'Yovel. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer HaYorish Esisto Yachzir. No, Dafka, that one. If he yarshins his wife, that goes back. Why? L'bnei Mishpacha, to the family. V'yinacha Mehenes Adamim. But he, you could take off and deduct the value. What does that mean? What are we talking about? That's what I was going to explain. If he goes back, who's paying anybody? So we'll see. So my time with Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say that Matana does not go back? So Remeir says, Mecher hu damar rachmana deleder biyovel. A mecher goes back. Matana v'yerusha lo. Matana yerusha don't. Vahani mili vahani di yerusha yerusha udematana matana. And anything that's actual yerusha, fine, is yerusha does not go back. And actual matana is also don't go back. And bechor lases lo pishnayim matana kayirachmana. And that's why Bukhar doesn't go back, because it's called a matana in the Torah. Interesting, though, it's called matana. So is it magialo? Matana, we usually say, is something extra that somebody just gave you from his good heart. So maybe you could also try to get the essence of Bukhar, the double portion, by the fact that the Torah terms it matana. Vayter. Vayoris is ishto. Somebody yarshes his wife. Yerushas haba'au da'oraisa. The Gemara assumes that the reason that it does not go back in Yovel is because the ba'al yarshes da'oraisa. So, Yerushas HaBaal is a fascinating and important topic, because if you think about it, it's different than all other Yerusha. All other Yerusha is blood relatives. All of Parshas Pinchas, the Chinuch, Mitzvah, tough. Mitzvah 400, all of them, right? All different types of blood relatives. The only one that's not is a husband to a wife, from a wife. The Yerushas HaBaal. So that's why there's an opinion that says Yerushas HaBaal is Drabanan, which we'll see soon. But why is there a discussion at all? Because Yerushas HaBaal is different. There's a big discussion in the Achronim. If you look in the Ritva in Baba Basra, Kuf Yud Beis, we quoted this Ritva then. Kuf Yud Beis, on Aleph, there's a beautiful footnote in the Mosad Rav Kook Ritva. He quotes 20 different sources how Yerushas HaBaal is more of a Zechus Mamoni than a din it is in Yerusha. It's not Yerusha. Yerusha, by definition, is a blood relative. And the Torah creates that. The Torah doesn't say Beferish. Even if you see it's Daraisa, it's not in the Torah. So it's a remez. So says the footnote here, Vatam Bazeh, the Yerushas HaBaal, Eino Midinachlas Shel Kurva. Not a relative. Elam Yizachuyos V'kinyani HaBaal, Shezocha B'shas HaNisuin. At marriage, there are a lot of obligations that kick in on both sides between the husband and the wife. This is one of them. It's a monetary obligation. Omehai Taima, and that's where the Rambam puts the halachas of Yerushas HaBaal in Hilchos Ishus, and not in Hilchos Nachlas. He mentions it in Nachlas in Aleph Ches, but Yerusha Hilchos Ishus says this footnote. And also the Shulchan Aruch has it in Eved Ezer, Simin Samach Tes, and Simin Tzadik. V'lachein, Heichidam, he calls Mansha Baal Chai. V'loshayach was a Mishmush. And that's why the Baal's not going to be Yorish Bekever, because it's not Yerusha. It's a Schus Mamoni. Right, and therefore, he says, this explains a lot of other things, he quotes from how it's possible, as a fascinating shita, later on, Mishnah Nasan Eino Lagarsha, Eino Yarsha, it's possible that right when the husband decides to divorce his wife, even before he divorces his wife, he already doesn't yashin her from that moment, which is a huge topic, which we've discussed back in Kiddushin and Gittin, but again, it makes sense if it's not a din in Yerusha. If it's just a din in the Zechus Mamoni, so right when a decision is made, the Kinyan Zechus Mamon might evaporate, even though the person didn't die yet. So that's the Ritva talks about it a little bit here. That's why he says, "Dilamidina ein lecha rachok yoser min habal v'kivan da'akrave rachmana va'avde karov lagamre akrave." Meaning, it's not, and therefore, what the Torah includes him, it could be that it's stronger than the others, because it's just different. But that is Yerushas HaBaal, Daraisa Yerushas HaBaal, Durabanan. Very important topic in our discussion. Related to Yerushas HaBaal. Fascinating. To come to the daf for today, Dayenu. We know that Yerushas HaBaal is Daraisa. What happens, and this was a problem in the days of the Rishonim, let's say a husband and wife get married. The wife brings in a huge dowry because the father-in-law really wants her to have a good marriage, and then she dies within a year. So Me'ikar Adin, it's problematic because the husband's going to get all this. They hardly had a marriage, and now the father-in-law, you know, he's very upset. So there were takanas made. Rabbeinu Tam made takanas in his day. And throughout the generations, various takanas, they were known as part of the different phrases that were made. That sometimes they were called takanas tulitula, sometimes takanas shum, right? Takanas slutsk, all different types. But either way, Rabbeinu Tam, in my version of Sefer Hayashar, it's the third to last siman, Tafshin Peches. Rabbeinu Tam writes the letter to all of the communities. He says, if a woman dies within 12 months, the money goes back to the father-in-law. Okay, even if you want to say Yerusha Valda Raisa, the Chacham of the power to be Oker, Hefker, Bezen Hefker, that's the Takana of Rabbi Natan. And he says, you know why? Because there is a Medrash. There's a Medrash in the Tochacha on the Pasuk of V'tam Larik Kochachem. V'tam Larik Kochachem, meaning your strength will go Larik to emptiness. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says, V'yesh Adam Shemasiyas Bita Upasak Lo V'nasan Mamon Harbe V'lois Piku Shivas Yimei Amishte Acha Mesa Bito Nimsa Kover Is Bito Ma'abidas Mamono. Not only does he lose his daughter, he gave her a big dowry and she died, and he's going to lose his money too. That's V'tam Larik Kochachem. Your whole Koach will go to nothing. Larik, you're going to lose your daughter, you're going to lose your money. So Rabbeinu Tam says, and that's why he made this takana. But why is this so important? Why am I so excited about this? There are two reasons. There are two mesoras why Rabbeinu Tam is called Rabbeinu Tam. Right? His name was Yaakov. Yaakov ben Meir. Meir was the son-in-law of Rashi. So why was he called Tam? So the more obvious reason is that Yaakov ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov, he was Tam, and he was Lamdin. So some suggest that it was because of this takana. This takana was so important and so widespread, and it was based on the Medrash, V'tam larik kochachem. So some say there was a story, I saw a quote here in one of the Daf Yomi sheets, is a story from the Maharid. Rabbi Yaakov David Berman, Av Bezin at Vishgrad, wrote in at the end of his sefer, Sifra de Beirav. It was revealed to me in a dream in Iyar 5604, not too long ago. Right, less than 200 years ago, the Rabbi Yaakov Ishtam was called Rabbeinu Tam because he instituted the return of Nedunya and dispelled the curse of Atam Larikol Chachem. So that's another reason why he might have been called Rabbeinu Tam. Again, it's in the Rabbeinu Tam's Sefer Yosher in Tafshin Peches, third to last one in my volume. That's two reasons why he might have been called Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, wonderful. We continue. Where are we? V'amiyabeim esh eshes achi, fourth line of the Gemara, b'char kai rachmani, he's called a b'char, and just like b'char doesn't go back, so to this. V'chacham omer matana kemecha, chacham say, no, matana's like mecha, so it does go back. Maitama yodur rabbanan, tashuvu l'rabos es ha-matana. Tashuvu includes matana, and therefore it goes back. V'hani kula yerusha ninhu, and all of the other ones on the list are called yerusha. B'char omer kra lases lo pishnayim, Makish chelik b'chor lechelik pashut, and b'chor you compare it. Machelik pashut Yerusha, chelik b'chor Yerusha. The Torah compares the extra portion to the regular portion. So just like his chelik pashut is called the Yerusha, so too the chelik of b'chora is also called the Yerusha. So it's a machlokas tanaim whether the extra portion is called the matana or called the Yerusha. Rebbe Elazar Omer kulam chozer biyovel. Wow, that's the sheet. Rebbe Elazar says they all go back in Yovel. Savar la karabanan de Omer tashuvu l'rabo says matana. So first of all, he holds like the rabbanan that include right matana goes back right. It's like mecher v'hani kulam matana ninu. I think matana goes back, and these are all called matana. Where bichar la seis lo pishnayim matana kai rachmana v'hayoris es ishto Yerusha sabal de rabbanan. I think Yerusha sabal is de rabbanan. V'miyabeim es eishes achiv b'char kai yirachmana. He's also called a b'char, and b'char is called matana. So therefore, they're all called matana. Rabbi Elazar says they all go back. Period. That's the shita of Rabbi Elazar. The Achronim discuss. Aye. So what if it's Yerusha Sabal's Rabbanan? Kein daraisa tikin. How can it go back? Okay. That's what they discuss. Vayter. Amar Rav Asi. Says Rav Asi. Amar Rav Asi. Amar Rav Yochanan. So you think, oh, only a couple of lines left. We can spend about a week on the next line. Breira. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'achin Shechilku, brothers that split up the property, right? We discussed this a couple of days ago, at least in a certain sense. Ha'achin Shechilku, Lekuchos Hein, Umachzirin Zelazeb Yovel. Brothers that split up property are considered buyers. What does that mean, they're considered buyers? That's based on the Svara, Ein Breira. Ein Breira, meaning once something is unclear at T1, then at T2 later in history, when it becomes clear, we do not see the roots of that chalukah in the past. We say in the past it was unclear and now it's clear. So when brothers split up property, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't say that this was, whatever they get was originally earmarked for them from Shas Misa. No. Each brother had a piece of every chalek, and now they're splitting it up like lechuchos, like buyers, and therefore, what happened? It goes back to by Yovel. What does that mean? It goes back by Yovel. Major machlokas Rishonim. Rashi here just says two words: Chozrin v'Cholkin. They go back and redo it. What does that mean? So Rashi elsewhere in Ksubis, in Gittin, Chafayim and Aleph, Rashi seems to say there the brothers get back together and then they re-split it the same way. That's what happened. You have to do mitzvahs yovel. You have to go back and like throw all the deeds into the pot, and then they re-split it. They take back what they took originally just to fulfill the mitzvah of yovel. But if you look elsewhere, other Rishonim don't say that. Other Rishonim seem to say that your mamish re-split it. Tosfos, there are some versions of Rashi, some interpret, the Pnei Yeshua there has a long discussion about Rashi and Chaf Hem and Aleph, but some Rishonim say that you split it up differently. Right? The Rambam seems to say that it's, you split it up just the same way. Sounds that way from Rashi. Right? Rashi, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shmita, he says, Ha'achin shechilko kelechuchos hein, u'machzirin ze laze chelko b'yovel, v'lo tibatel chalukasan mikamosha haisa. That's the Rambam's lashon. Dobi mevata the chaluka to what it was. Right? That's what it's so pashas, that's what it means. That you just put it back in the pot to be Mekai in the mitzvah of Yovel, but then you resplit it the same way. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Okay, good. Continuing. There is a Rabbi Chanan. It's a crucial, I don't know if I ever mentioned this before. Rabbi Chanan in Kovet Shiurim where is this? In I have two Rabbi Chanans here. In Beitza, Simon Lam and Zion, Rabbi Chanan says that Yerusha, even though Yerusha is just one example of Breira, and there are 10 examples of Breira in Shas, Yerusha is a unique context of Breira. Because it's the only one, says Rabbi Chanan, it's the only one that really, he says, Minayan, where is it? Din Breira be Yerusha, Chaluk mi din Breira be Kinyanim. Ve'afilu mand amar b'chol duchti yesh Breira, Matzi savar be Yerusha ein Breira. It could be that everybody could hold ein Breira here. Because here, it wasn't shaykh to talk about a chalukah. Right when the father died, it wasn't splittable. It was the father died. He gave it to everybody. When you have a field which was going to be split up, do you see the roots of that splitting earlier? Okay, there's something to talk about. The two people could have thought about it earlier, which is mine. They could have been nohig, having a part of it themselves. But by Yerusha, it's one package. It's one father. So Rabbi Chanan says that all the stiras in Shas about Breira, you know, you might say Yerusha is different. There's more of a reason to say Ein Breira by Yerusha than by all the others. Important Ha'ara. Okay, so most of Rav Hoshiya, Ve'elu Shein Chozer B'Yovel HaBechora. The Mishnah says that Bechora is not Chozer B'Yovel. Right, so how could Rabbi Yochanan say what he says? Amar Le'er Balazar, Mai Ein Chozerin Levatala. What does it mean? It means it doesn't go back for free. Rashi, Sheyehei Ma'abed Bechorasa. He doesn't lose his double portion. He gets a double portion back, but it's not that he loses his double portion. That's what it means. It's not choser. It's not choser levatala, but it is choser. First step. So maskel Ravashi. One second. Rashi mechlad demand amar choser choser levatala kamar. What according to the one who says that it goes back choser, meaning according to Rabbi Lazar, that he loses his double portion by Yovel? The Gemara answers yes. Kari Rav Chama alei de Rav Sheshes. Rav Chama said about Rav Sheshes, who asked this question, Tova Chachma in Nachla. It's good. I know you're a genius and you know all brises, but you should also listen to the Mesorah. And if there was a Mesorah of a certain statement that would have solved your problem. V'lo shami lehu lehi hadachiyasa rabbi namar Rav Yochanan v'amila Rav Lazar omar b'shem Rav Lazar ben Shemua maichos v'chos l'matala. Yeah. A Bechar gets a double portion only till Yovel, according to Rav Lazar. After that, it's re-split, whether it's re-split the same way or differently, Machlokas Rishonim, but he loses his double portion is only till then. Interesting. Period. Rav Yochanan Ibroka Omer, Yorich Hazishto Yachzor L'Bnei Mishpacha. Rav Yochanan Ibroka says, you give it back to the B'nai Mishpacha. So Gemara asks, Mike Asavar, what is he holding? Ikasavar Yerusha Zabal Daraisa, my Yachzor L'Bnei Mishpacha. If Yerusha Zabal is Daraisa, so what is he giving it back at all for? Vikzar Yerusha Zabal Darabanan, Dama Maya Vidatayu. And if it's Darabanan, what is he giving anything? What is he getting paid for? So he has to give it back. So the Olam Sefer Yerushalbal Daraisa. Really, Yerushalbal is Daoraisa. V'acham Mayaskinan, Kigon Shehorishato Ishto Beisakvaris. It's Daraisa, but he yarshined his wife's family burial plot. So even though really, Maker of a Din, that's his, Chazal say, give it back. Omishim Bekam Mishpacha, Amar Rabbanan Lishkol Dami V'Leheder. Get paid for it, but give it back. Give it back. Come on, it's the family burial plot. Uk Netanya, like the Brisa says, Hamocher Kivro, Videra Kivro. If somebody sells their burial plot because they're so poor, or the way to get there, Mako Mamado, the place where they have the Mamados after the burial, Ubeis Espeda, the place where they have Espedim, Boyan B'nei Mishpacha, V'Kovrin Oso Balkarcho, Mishum Begam Mishpacha. The family can come and take it back against the will of the buyer, because a family burial plot stays with the family. Umayin Achalem and Adamim, so what does he get? What's the deduction here? Demei kever ishto. He doesn't get paid for the value of his wife's burial plot, because that he has a chiyav, that's a tanai ksuba, that he has to pay for burial of his wife. So therefore, that is not something that he's going to get the money back for. So this is a huge topic, which we're not going into now, in terms of familial burial plots. Are you allowed to do pinui atzamos, or Moshe has 25 tshuvas, all in a row, about 20 tshuvas in Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Chelek Gimel, all about moving bodies. So a lot of them have to do with moving him into the family burial plot. The Chatzam Sofer has a tshuva in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph in Yoredeya. The importance of paying for a burial plot, says, why is there a minhag that even the poorest of the poor, you know, they give a token, you know, 5 cents, to pay for their own burial plot. Because there's something about having your own burial plot. That, as Derech Melitza, the Gemara Baal Basra says, right, is it possible that a person is going to be buried, nimsa tzadik kover, but kever she'enu shalo? So you see from there that there's an important idea. He said, al Derech Melitza, e'ef shalo psichas hakever below damim. Right, even though it's a nita concept, but he says you always collect money for it. So he talks all about it's a genai lebnei mishpacha shelo kanu makom kever lekvarbo v'abizayin lachayim. So he quotes that is very important in terms of bnei mishpacha. Just the next shuvah, then we'll stop. In Shilam and Beis, just looking at the next shuvah, he talks all about there was a certain burial cemetery in a certain town. In Eibishitz. So he said, and it was full. All the rows were full in the family burial plot. They wanted to start a new row, but the new row was a problem because all the graves were north south, and this was east west. Right. So the question was, were you allowed to? There was a minhag, not a din, a minhag. So he talks all about that idea. Which way does one bury? The usual way is you bury feet first, facing the front of the cemetery. Why? Because by tchiasam, to symbolize tchiasam esim. That's what he says. He says, it should only make a difference in chutz la'aretz, which way you're buried, and not in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you're just going to get up. In chutz la'aretz, you're going to roll. And therefore, he says, maybe in chutz la'aretz only makes a difference how you're buried, but he says, where we are, to get to Eretz Yisrael, you can either first go east and then south, or you can go south and then east. And therefore, he says, either direction is fine. You could be buried north, south, or east, west, because you're going to roll either way. It just depends. It's amazing. He says that. He says that there are two ways to get there. He says, "Kshanu rotim lintzol arzino akadosha mi medina seiduk shenaknu mifuzarim bi Europa yesh lavanenu beis drachim ona soa mitzafon ladaron ad yam haem sa'i or misham ofech panav lemizrach laretz Yisrael ona seim imayrav lemizrach leKonstantinina." You go to Turkey and then go down to Eretz Yisrael. That's why we say, we want to go Larsenu. We don't want to have to roll. Right? So he says, that's what we dive in southeast. Then he talks about it. Anyway, fascinating tshuva. Shin Lamed Beis in Yoredeya. Okay, we'll stop here. Hopefully Parsha Shir should be up. And again, Daf, tomorrow's Daf we're doing tonight. Tomorrow's Daf we're doing tonight, a quarter to nine. Right here, Bez Hashem.